Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Forgot to mention this. Albert Pujols has said he will not be the Angels' next manager, but the Padres and Orioles are still interested. Now, time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Kevin, do you know who has scored the most touchdowns in the NFL this season? Not quarterback.
Javonte Williams.
No, why would you say that?
Oh, George Pickens?
No, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Jonathan Taylor, he has 11.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Josh Jacobs has 8.
I just thought this was going to be a Cowboys thing they were saying.
Javonte Williams has 7. He's 3rd.
That's pretty good.
Jake Ferguson and George Pickens each have 6. They're tied for 4th.
Wow.
I guess.
Man, so that means Jake Ferguson, George Pickens, and Javonte Williams have already combined to score 19 touchdowns?
Yeah.
19?
Yeah. And Christian McCaffrey only has 6. Yeah.
They're going to run him into the ground.
Yeah, they are. They definitely are. Go ahead and pick up one of the backup running backs for San Francisco, because like that's just too much work, I think.
Yeah.
But they don't really have any options. They're trying to win games.
That's true.
And they don't have a whole bunch of options, so they're like, we got to do what we got to do. And each week's a different thing. All the injuries, though, they're 5-2 with all of the, I'm talking about San Francisco right now. They're 5-2 with all those injuries. And we're like, how do they keep doing it?
Right.
But can they keep that up for the rest of the season? It's a good question. Now, Kevin, I did want to throw these numbers out to you real quick. 11 quarterbacks threw at least one interception this week. Their record, 2-9.
That makes sense.
19 quarterbacks were sacked at least twice this week. Their record, 5-14.
Ooh.
Every quarterback that fumbled this weekend lost.
Oh.
So sacks, turnovers, you're always talking about.
Yeah.
The turnover battle. Kevin's the first person I ever heard mention the turnover battle. And then the coaches started talking about it a lot more.
Yay.
It was really nice to hear that. But yeah, sacks and turnovers, big deal.
Yeah.
Also, we've discussed for quite some time the top 10 rusher records and the top 10 passer records over the weekend. Passer records were 5-5, bringing them to a robust 25-33-2.
Wow. That's not good.
The rusher records, 8-2, bringing them to 41-12-2.
Wow.
The top 10, this is each week I just grab the top 10. I don't care anything else. I just say who had the most yards in each of these categories. And you just look at their records, and it just looks like that's just the way that
is a staggering difference.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, would you like the hits or the misses from the weekend?
Let's go with the misses.
Misses. Honorable mention, Carson Wentz and the Vikings offense. As you pointed out earlier, 5 drives that ended in a field goal, 4 within 35 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they can do, though. Kevin O'Connell is a very good quarterbacks coach. I think he's gotten the most he can out of Carson Wentz. but I'm not exactly sure what else you can do at this point.
They're just biding their time for McCarthy.
And hoping that they don't lose enough games to get themselves out of it.
Right.
But Justin Jefferson just looked so ticked off.
Right.
And dude, can you imagine being a guy that has that much capability and you're like, I'm on this team?
No, not really.
And he's looking down at Pickens right now going, why can't I be where he is right now? Can you imagine him with Dak?
Oh my gosh.
All right, here's the dream team. CeeDee Lamb.
We do nothing
George
but
Pickens,
throw the ball.
And Justin Jefferson all on one team. Who says no?
I wonder if fantasy owners say no, right? Because then they're like, I don't know what to do with that.
Dude, both of them are. Pickens and Dak are getting theirs. They get them differently.
But it feels like you've reached the tipping point where if you added another one, fantasy owners would be like, no.
Yeah,
this is unacceptable.
Ferguson probably wouldn't get his touches.
Yeah.
Javonte, you probably got a good point there. Another honorable mention, Jaden Daniels' health. Bro's looking like Mr. Glass.
I don't want the Commanders to succeed, but it is sad seeing somebody who, man, unbelievable first year. And I've seen some people say sophomore slump by CJ, like with CJ Stroud.
Yep.
This feels decidedly different than what happened with Stroud.
Stroud looked bad.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels looks injured. Like he didn't look like he could plant his feet very well. He didn't look like he was getting the right velocity off the ball, mostly because of maybe it is that knee. And what's interesting is the injury he had wasn't the left knee. This was the right leg, and it looked like a hamstring when he was tackled because of the way that his body came down. But yeah, man, this is quite fascinating. From the 940, same thing happened to Larry Fitzgerald. Played in Arizona for his entire career. And just like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah.
He did go to a Super Bowl with Kurt Warner.
I know it's a different position, but it kind of feels like the same with Matthew Stafford. Once he got to go away, and he was like, hey, this is a lot better.
Number three on the misses of the weekend, Tua T, a starting quarterback, had three interceptions and a 24.1 rating. The only ratings lower, Marcus Mariota. So he was a starting quarterback.
Whoops.
Marcus Mariota had a 22.1. He was not a starting quarterback.
Oof.
Even Tyrod Taylor, who also was not a starting quarterback, had a 25.9.
Right.
Ow. Tua T is, I don't know where the blame falls in Miami right now.
With all of them, do I need to play that cut again?
No, but everybody's accountable here.
We all want to F and win, but we didn't. I'm paraphrasing, but not as much as you think.
Also on the misses list, Trevor Lawrence was sacked 7 times.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being England? losing America, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, can you imagine, though? Your de facto home team is the Jaguars.
Yeah. That's disappointing.
And you're like, we couldn't get a better one? And the U.S. is like, y'all couldn't stop taxing us?
You know,
this is what you get for all the taxes.
I hear you, Corey. I don't know.
We got them back with the tea party, right?
People simultaneously think about losing America and getting the Jags. I don't know how much people like ponder both of those things together.
If you were to go to England, Kevin, because you're the one that went overseas recently.
True.
And you were close to England.
That's true. You know what's amazing? Because some of those countries are smaller and they're all packed there together. Man, they were all talking about on their holiday. They're like, I'm going to go to Italy and then this place and that. They're just hopping all over to these
like we would,
countries.
Oh, I'm going to New Mexico.
Yeah. Yes. Italy is their New Mexico. It's a thing I bet nobody has ever said.
But I want you to put yourself in England, Kevin.
Okay.
What team, like, are the Jaguars the team you effectively have to root for because they've played there the most?
Yes. I mean, I would think so. Let me ask you this then. Bonus English question.
Oh.
English people, you get America back.
Dangling participles.
Or the Chiefs will now become your team. The Chiefs are going to start playing.
You get America back.
Yeah. Or you sub out the Jags for the Chiefs.
I think they'd take the Chiefs.
Yeah. I don't think any regular English person walks around and goes, I wish we still had the colonies.
Right.
Like, that feels unlikely.
Man, I have a couple political jokes I'm holding back, by the way, Kevin. I just want to let you know.
Probably for the best.
Probably for the best. Number one on the misses list, the Raiders offense.
They suck.
They rushed for 25 yards and threw for 71 yards.
You know how many first downs I believe they had?
None.
They did have
good cow.
Three.
Gross.
In a football game that was played all the way out, they had three first downs.
That, they were bad. That's why they are the worst of the misses over the weekend. The hits of the weekend. Honorable mention. This is a trio of honorable mentions, by the way. Devontae Smith, 183 yards, one touchdown, 20.3 yards per catch.
Wow.
A.J. Brown, 121 yards, two touchdowns, 30 yards per catch. And Jalen Hurts had a perfect 158.3 passer rating, which is still weird. It needs to be a round number. Fix it.
And how is it not, when they were making this system, how is it not 150? It's right there.
Yeah.
It's the same
way. Or 160.
Yeah. It's the same way they do the fines. And they're like, all right, you get fined seven. And I know it's based off game checks and stuff. I still don't like it.
Mm-mm. So, honorable mention for them. Also, honorable mention, Micah Parsons had three sacks. And Packers fans still can't move on. Like, they got to be like, thanks so much for giving us Micah Parsons. And I'm like, come on, dude.
You still
move on with your life. We got to win this week.
To the crappy Cardinals. Yeah. That's more sacks than he had the rest of the season combined.
And you tied us.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Move on.
Hold on. So wait. Micah Parsons had a bunch of sacks against an inferior opponent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and here's the other thing. They didn't have Clayton Adams as their offensive line coach or coordinator. So the Cardinals, who ran all over the Cowboys whenever Micah was here, didn't choose to do what the Cowboys.
Michael Parsons.
Okay. All right, Jerry. We'll let really you talk about Michael in a little
really bit. Thought he was going to say something else there.
Number three on the hits of the weekend, Jonathan Taylor and Quinshon Judkins. 94 and 84 yards, respectively. Three touchdowns for each of them.
Amazing.
Which puts Jonathan Taylor at 11, Kevin. Not Javonte Williams at the top. But, as you said, 19 from that trio of Cowboys.
That's unbelievable.
Number two on the list, Matthew Stafford. Five touchdowns in a foreign country.
But no sword.
No sword. But it was only 182 yards. That's what's amazing to me. Five touchdowns on 182 yards. If you get a five touchdown performance, you would typically think
300 plus, right?
Yes. And they're like, nah.
Okay.
And then lastly, number one, the Broncos scored 33 points in the fourth quarter against the New York Giants. And that is just the most amazing thing to me. Because, Kevin, at one point I looked up and it was like 26-8. And yeah. I was like, oh, well, that game's over. And then I turned around and they're like, oh, my God, what happened?
In the span of 3 minutes and 38 seconds, I think they scored three touchdowns. But here's the stat to me that I was like, sure, that makes sense. This is the most points ever scored in the fourth quarter by a team that had been shut out in the previous three quarters. And I'm thinking, yeah, that makes sense. I wouldn't be surprised if the record would have been like 17.
Yeah.
Because if you're getting shut out in the first three quarters, I'm not like, you just wait for the offensive explosion. And they score 33 points. How did the Giants lose that game?
Kevin, how many minutes did that take?
3 minutes and 38 seconds of game time.
In the span of just 7 minutes in the casual daylight of Sunday morning, four suspects stole nine pieces of France's crown jewels from the Louvre.
Oh.
They robbed not just the most visited museum in the world, but also the French people themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Officials are now scrambling to reassure the public about security at key cultural sites and find the jewels stolen from the museum before they can be broken up and melted down.
Okay, this I'm seriously asking. Do you think the average French person is like super bent out of shape about this? Like, are they personally offended as a French person?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
If they stole the Declaration of Independence, if Nick Cage actually did it,
yeah,
I would be like, oh man, that stinks. But it doesn't affect me because I never even touched that paper.
And like in that instance, I at least get this was us declaring we were going to be our own nation, not a bunch of fancy jewels.
Yeah, but we can still be like, it doesn't matter. We still declared it. We have pictures of it, y'all.
Yeah. You know what? I think about that with conceding elections.
But I guess this is kind of like an old card for you. It makes sense.
Yeah. Like, you, we're not a country anymore. I think about that with, like, conceding elections. And they're like, oh, so-and-so hasn't conceded the election. I'm like, so?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I've got the numbers. Like, I never get to go to a sporting event. And I'm like, hey, I know we have less points, but don't concede. And let's just keep playing. Like, who cares?
From the 817, Nick Cage got France. Kevin, the thieves used a truck mounted with a basket lift, commonly used to hoist furniture into Paris's inaccessible apartment blocks. They parked it outside of the sprawling Renaissance Palace, rode to the balcony outside the Galerie d'Apollon, and sliced through the window with cutting tools. Their daring heist pierced the nation's self-image.
I want to let you know, here's how I spelled that, to try to look it up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
M-B-L-E-U instead got me some resort.
One of the items, Kevin, a crown of Empress Eugenie, I'm assuming, Empress to Napoleon III in the 19th century, was found broken near the scene.
Aw.
That item alone is worth several tens of millions of euros, which can only be about $15 in America, I presume.
No, that is more in America. But also, like, man, you need to know some high-class people to sell that. You can't go to the pawn shop. I guess you could go to the pawn shop.
No, you melt
shop.
It down.
Yeah.
You melt all the jewels down. But, dude, we see movies on this all the time, the stealing of the crown jewels. And here we are. Somebody actually pulled it off.
Do you ever wonder if those people, like, use their intelligence and that skill set to, like, legitimate business means, if they could do something?
I don't know, because I've always, like, you watch these movies like The Italian Job or whatever. I don't know. Let's go with one of those cool movies. Don't you want to be one of the people that's really good at something like that, that can help pull something like this off so you get recruited into the crew?
No.
Because they might kill you.
Because I don't want to be a thief anymore. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Wanker of the Weekend. Who was the best at being the worst, and are the stars in this category? Next on The Fan.
In Dallas.
At the Washington 35, first down, they're going to run the ball. Williams into the secondary, coming left with a stiff arm, 15, 10, 5, struggling down to the 2. What a run by Javonte Williams. Timeout, Dallas, with 13 seconds.
It's a tough call. That might have been my favorite play of the day. George Pickens catching the ball through the sun. CeeDee Lamb just making that defense look ridiculous. The Daron Bland pick six. There are a lot of options. Obviously, my favorite play would have been Brandon Aubrey kicking the NFL record field goal, but we didn't get to see that. Right now, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. And
are you calling out Shoddy? After a win like that, you're calling him out for not sending Brandon Aubrey out there?
Even Steven said he really wanted to. He said, Steven, in the suite with Jerry and all the other Cowboys luminaries, they said they were all, there was a conversation about it. So they all wanted to see it. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Can I tell you a story that's in Wanker of the Weekend that has political undertones to it without people freaking out?
Dude, you know, I literally told you what I was thinking. It was right down the middle.
This is a sport.
My jokes would have been right down the middle and hilarious.
This is a sports story.
Unlike my short jokes.
Do you think... Mm-hmm.
Which really take shots.
Mm-hmm. The San Jose Sharks are the Wankers of the Weekend. This is a hockey team. They put up on their video board during the game, San Jose Sharks fans love ice. Get them, boys. It's a hockey team, so I get what they're going for. Nobody in the room was like, I don't know about that.
I don't have anything to say.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go from that to cut 21. We're going to stick with hockey because we need to talk about the Stars for a freaking minute.
Thomas, or rather, Shen to the cycle to Kyrou. Shoots! Score! It started with Kyrou in the neutral zone. It ends with Kyrou at the back of the net, burying it. 1-0 St. Louis.
Nobody likes Kyrou or Caillou. Now,
that's a fact. Nobody, nobody likes Kyrou. Even that kid's mom was like, I'm so fed up with your crap today. Can you just write down things to me instead of talking in that high pitch ass voice?
Oh, I think she hated him the most.
Feels like that was a shot at me too.
No, that wasn't a shot at you. It was definitely a Caillou.
Are the Stars the Wanker of the Weekend? Not only because they lost, but let's take it to the head coach himself. Our turnover rate is too high right now, and it's hard to win that way. Man, are they turning the puck over a lot. Whether it was the second period, the game before, or against St. Louis, take care of the freaking puck, man.
I know we're probably going to do this all year long. There seemed to be a certain level of accountability with Pete DeBoer, but they still had moments like this. They still had leaky defense moments, and they'd have moments where you're like, what are y'all doing? But there was this level of, it got corrected really quickly. I don't know how much of that was DeBoer and how much of that was the locker room.
Yeah.
Hopefully the locker room can clean this up real fast and Gullitson doesn't have to step in. But still, we're going to have to hold Gullitson accountable if things don't turn around quickly.
I don't know if you guys saw this play, but I'm going to go to cut number 16. Is Cam Ward the Wanker of the Weekend?
Oh my gosh.
So, his coach got fired the week before. And then, I know he got spun around, but didn't it look like Cam Ward just hands the ball off to the defender for a touchdown? Here's what it sounded like. I don't know what he was doing.
They weren't flashing the scores down there. Ward lost the football, scooped up by Chason, and it's a touchdown! There is a flag down, but Kalevon Chason in the end zone with the football.
We have to go back to that because these dudes were having the best party. They were having such a great time, and then a football game jumped up on them.
Yeah,
like they were broadcasting the game, and they forgot about it for a sec.
They weren't flashing the scores down there. Ward lost the football.
And when they said flashing the scores, that would have been like just a half second after, or maybe a second after they snapped the ball. It was ridiculous. And then Chason just pushed Cam Ward to the ground. Like, Cam Ward, I do not think was going to get that football, but the way he just pushed him down like he was nothing.
Yeah.
And it looked like New England was well on their way to already winning that game, but that fumble touchdown, don't worry about the flag, didn't end up impacting the play. That Cam Ward is just turning the ball over in the most ridiculous manners, and that one was tough.
I do. That kind of goes to that accountability again, like I was talking about with the Stars, is like now that his head coach is gone, because there was always the head coach to blame. Who's holding him accountable? Who's
right.
accountable beyond right. your beyond the quarterback? A lot of it has to fall on the quarterback now, and he's got to do a better. He has to do a better job too. Brian Callahan said that, and then got fired for it.
I mean, for that, I think Cam Ward.
It was the last straw.
Okay,
but he said it. He was right.
Now this,
you just said it.
Yeah, it's true. This changed from the 817. I thought I was going to be the Wanker of the Weekend because I started Bo Nix over Matthew Stafford. and I felt like a dumbass until the fourth quarter. Then it worked out probably okay. Now, speaking of people who say dumb things, Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is very whiny. Now, he's doing his opening season presser. NBA basketball starts again tomorrow. Mavs get after it with the Spurs on Wednesday. And in the middle of all of this, he was asked about his outlet passing. And he said, according to a lot of your peers, I'm not even a top 100 basketball player in the league. So I guess I just got to fit in and see where I can help the team win basketball games. So Joel Embiid is mad because his media peers don't think he's top 100. Except, of course, for ESPN, where he's number 47, The Ringer, where he's 54, and The Bleacher Report, where he's 26. So that's three major outlets right there, all of whom not only have him in the top 50, but no lower than 54, despite the fact that he's missed almost as much time in his career that he's played. So is Joel Embiid the wanker of the weekend for, I don't know, trying to create a chip on his shoulder when that chip
man, that's a really good point.
Exist?
Doesn't it feel like the dude that puts the chip on his shoulder like that? You hear the story afterwards.
Yes.
Yes. Michael Jordan is that one a lot. Oh my gosh. Did you know this dude made up a story in his head about you?
And that's kind of what it feels like.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Like throughout that, it was Dirk threw the Western Conference Final trophy into the laundry and left it there,
right?
Because why? Because he wants it. Like, everybody seems to have that story, but they make it up to themselves and keep it quiet. And this dude's out here doing that.
Yeah,
I wish he was better and had more success because he has all the skills. Yeah. Like, he has all these skills, but it just hasn't worked out for that guy in his career.
Now, I have at least one more for you, but we can go through as many as you want, and then we actually have a positive story that we need to throw out there. But is the wanker of the weekend the Packers tech crew, or I guess the airport tech, because the Packers were delayed in their flight to go play Arizona by 5 hours. They were stuck on the tarmac. Do you think those people were Cowboys fans? They wanted to help out the draft pick. It almost worked. Clearly, it did not end up working, but it almost did.
Yeah. Dude, think about this. I was just talking a little bit ago, Kevin, about the robbing of the crown jewels.
Huh?
Think about if there was like are there movies about teams, about fans in other places helping their...
Yes.
The Great White Hype?
Yes, the Great White Hype comes to mind for sure. I bet there are others.
They helped him out. And like that one guy I tried, it was when the Heat were here the first time.
Don't
and I tried to get my
people.
I
Don't
tried to get my buddy at Nobu.
People.
He was like, I can't do it.
Yes. Good for him for not doing that. Now
could have won a championship.
I have a positive story. Are you ready? Who did we just have on the show from FC Dallas this past Wednesday?
Colodi.
Give me cut number 19. FC Dallas is up 2-1 when this happens.
Now whips it in. Lumi was there. So is Badwell! And the save is made by Colodi!
Incredible save.
Is what? It a season saver?
A stop from Colodi, who has been so good in place of Martin Paas.
Didn't
he say he was going to come on the show again?
If he won.
If he won.
That's a good point. We need to fire up those phone
lines.
What's
up, FC Dallas?
So, FC Dallas wins 2-1. And not only that, because of other happenings in the league, they did not get stuck in the 8-9 matchup. Like, it looked like they were going to play again in the 8-9 matchup to have to qualify kind of for, like, the real playoffs. Instead, they bumped up to the number 7 seed, where they will once again play Vancouver in the playoffs. Best of 3 series starts on Sunday. By the way, side note to all of this, I don't understand why the MLS playoffs work the way they do. The first round is best of 3. Conference semifinals, 1 game. Conference finals, 1 game. MLS Cup, 1 game. What? So well, we're using Kevin, the first round for that?
Yeah, the first round. Let me explain it to you. All right?
Please do.
I know your brain is not really constructed to understand this.
Don't.
The first round, you can get an occasional, a team sleeps a little bit on a batter, a worse team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you play 3. Because a 3-game series really shows you who the better team is.
Mm.
But then once you've passed that round, all the teams are good because they went through a 3-game process.
Ah, so you only need one.
Maybe even a 2-game process if they were a really good team. So you really only need one as two good teams are facing off.
Just seems weird that to decide your championship, you'd be like 1. But to advance,
you need more.
3.
I like it.
All right.
I've always said that.
Well, FC Dallas from mid-July till the end of the regular season gave up an average of 1.83 goals per game. So their defense,
almost 2.
That's true, was on point. But I want to take you to Eric Quill, cut number 20. He also has been on our show, and he decided to go stone cold with his celebration.
As I like to do when I'm in the playoffs.
Yeah! Pulls out a beer. It was a big soccer weekend.
So he likes to get drunk when they're in the playoffs.
When they make the playoffs, he celebrates with a beer because Michael Finley was not there to take it away from him. It was a big weekend.
That's my coach right there.
For soccer, as Dallas Trinity FC, they lost to Liga MX's Club America Femenil 3-1 in the inaugural State Fair Clasico at the Cotton Bowl. But the attendance, 22,838, record for the largest crowd to see a pro women's sporting event in the state of Texas.
Really?
Yes.
That's impressive, dude.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
So, big weekend for soccer here in the Metroplex. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Snap to Prescott. And he airs it out deep down the left side for Pickens. Over the shoulder for crying out loud. He caught the ball. That's a perfect throw. All the way down at the 35-yard line, he beat the noisy Marshawn Lattimore for 44 yards. What a throw.
Didn't everybody defeat Marshawn Lattimore yesterday? Now, for the 940, can y'all do a segment on Cooper Flagg rookie cards and what boxes brands to buy to get the best ones? Thursday, making a stop off at RJ Dukes and McKinney because it's Topps Basketball Release Day. And I love RJ Dukes because they always help out Peace-A-Thon, and that's where Peace-A-Thon is going to be this year.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
we'll be in McKinney.
RJ Dukes.
Yeah, so get ready for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The full deal?
Full deal.
Yep.
And full Fledger?
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. I think it's going to go great. But yeah, Topps Basketball, comes out on Thursday. You want to come hang out in McKinney with me?
Heck yes.
We'd love to. It's my favorite day of the year already. That'll just make it better.
Yeah.
So we're all still invited out for Peace of Thumb.
Yeah, I'll be putting the sheet up here soon for everybody to sign up.
You're going to sheet us?
Yep.
You can do better.
You proud of that?
I can. No, I'm not proud of that.
Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for a chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. General, aside from what he just said, how are you doing today?
Amazing, Higgy. How are you?
Hell yeah. Look, what's not to like? Cowboys dominate. You get a Game 7 to decide who gets to lose to the Dodgers in the World Series. It's a fun sports day.
I would say absolutely. Yeah, I mean, a big Cowboys Monday, a victory Monday.
Indeed.
Celebration, imagining what is new, and Game 7 in the ALCS with everything on the line.
Do y'all have a pick for Game 7 of the ALCS? And look, I hope they do great in the World Series against the Dodgers. It's just tough to envision that at this exact moment.
I don't disagree with you there. I'm kind of going to ride with the Blue Jays at home. I was picking the Mariners going into this right now, but Toronto at home... I like what they've got going with Shane Bieber. I've always been a big Shane Bieber fan.
Vladdy's been playing crazy.
He has been. I think Toronto's going to find a way to get this done, which means bet on Seattle.
I'm taking Seattle for every reason.
Is that because of that just happened? Okay, yeah.
I'm going to take Toronto for the same reason I always pick against the Oregon Ducks in the playoffs. And this, I just don't believe it's possible. You know, as a guy that grew up in rural Washington State,
they've never been in the World Series.
No, it just doesn't. It doesn't compute.
Okay,
that they could be there.
I get
that. So I'm picking Toronto.
Now, did the Cowboys' run defense compute for you yesterday? Because I've been very upfront. I may or may not, mostly may, have had several plays on Underdog that went against the Cowboys' run defense yesterday. But I'll be damned if they didn't shut up every single one of those.
Better run better fits, better job of not getting out of gaps, better job when asked to slant to cover for each other. Better job getting off blocks, better job playing nine-man front. A lot of really good positive things. Early in the game, you were just really concerned about Krosky Merritt's ability to run. I mean, the first run of the game, they just, they hit you for about 8-9 yards there, and you're like, oh, geez, it's going to be one of these days.
Like at the Dowdle game, yeah.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, I think they did a good job. They got hit on some quarterback runs where they took some chances, but you really, Clowney played really well in this game, playing run defense. Clark was much better in this game. Solomon Thomas is a kind of a penetrating player that can kind of cause some problems when he gets in there. Much better overall as a unit of not being out of position.
And I know it's a week by week league, but when you talk about not being out of position, that feels like something that hopefully can carry forward.
Well, we don't know. We don't know because we get mauled one weekend and then the other weekend we know what we're doing.
Right.
I think you got into a game where, you would like to believe there would be some consistency there. But I think they're a little bit at the mercy of who's blocking sometimes. You know, they get to a point where, there's some guys that they can handle and then there's guys that absolutely, have problems with. I still am amazed that you line up guys over Laramie Tunsil when the guy on the right side's not any good. You take your best players and put him over there. There's some things that just I think that for all the things that were good yesterday about the win and all that, there's some things that still kind of make you shake your head a little bit what they're doing when you watch their film.
I know this was just one individual play, but I will always shake my head when either it's fourth and one or you're at the one.
Oh.
And you decide to hand the ball off 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, that will never make sense to me.
Were you hoping for like a quarterback sneak thing or something?
Run back right up the center's tush.
Get
some breathing room.
Yes.
Yep, that's exactly it.
I don't even like running.
Ask the tight end to block the best defensive player on the other team.
I don't even like running out of that. I think you should drop back
and
tell your quarterback we're getting rid of this thing.
Okay,
there's no way you're getting sacked.
Yeah.
Because I think the defense is geared up for it, and it is so easy to lose a half yard in a run.
Was that a Scooney miss block?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's...
It's a tough... That's not an assignment he should have to make right there.
Here, Heggie,
they put him in a bad spot.
I'm about to show you something.
Okay, I have a feeling this is
going to... I'm walking over to you right now.
I have a feeling this is going to be one of the confusing things that you're like, why are we lining
this is also
it up
one of those moments
like
I suggest just throw it up to George Pickens because yeah. you're going to get 40 yards no matter what. It's going to be pass interference. It could be a catch. Either way, he's not letting it get intercepted. I think quick slants, I'm a little scared of quick slant because that could be a pick six immediately.
Yeah.
But something like that, you're pushing it downfield. You don't. Dak doesn't need a lot of time in the backfield.
That's
he can just drop back, say, I'm throwing it as high as I can, and just let Pickens go do something out there.
And it sure looks like that play was always going to fail. The second it was lined up, that feels like an audible right there.
Well, you're in a situation where Payne is in a 4-eye, and a 4-eye meaning inside of the tackle, and you're asking Schoonmaker to make a block where he's the tight end to the wide side of it, and now you know Steele's got to give him some help. I mean, Steele's got to go straight up the field, get a piece of him, and then pass him off. You're asking Schoonmaker to make a block that most all pros can't make.
Yeah,
that tight end, and so that play just by alignment, I think Steele hurt you, and I think it's a terrible way of blocking. If that's your rule, that your tight end that's on the outside shoulder of the tackle is trying to block a guy that's on the inside eye of your tackle. That's bad football right there.
And it is just one game. We talk about week to week league. How much were you relieved to see the Cowboys run game kick back into gear and Javonte Williams just drag people with him along the field?
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was one of the things I thought was key going into it was can we get our confidence in Clayton Adams back? And that happened. So yes, and I thought Jaden Blue was good.
Is it wrong that when he had his big run and there was a penalty flag, I was like, that's how he got his run?
Yeah,
the Tolbert hole for that.
Sure. Yeah, sorry about that.
But he looked good. I mean, I was glad they gave him some carries late in the game. I thought those were meaningful for him and allow Javonte Williams not continually get beat up. And he looked good running in between the tackles. I mean, he had some good physical runs. I thought all that was good moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like you're sitting there yesterday and Schottenheimer's just looking at his call sheet feeling like, I can do whatever I want here.
Yeah.
Like, what am I in the mood for?
Right.
What does my appetite have? Do I want to rail off some Javonte Williams action? Do I want to push the ball down the field? Like, the way they were able to, they can score so quickly. It's like one play, 74 yards, CD Lamb, bang. You have two DBs colliding with each other. It's hilarious. And then right before the half, it's like, dude, you start that drive with a sack?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And it's like, no, still, we're good. We're going to call a timeout because we're confident enough that we can still make something out of this. And part of that's because you have a kicker that can kick the ball from damn near anywhere. You're like, we're always just like 5-10 yards away from field goal range. But they said, forget this, Pickens, Williams, Ferguson, bang.
I know the MRI will probably determine part of the answer to this question, but with Jaden Daniels potentially hurt, it looks like he's hurt. They're 3-4. Their next three opponents are all tough. How much trouble is that thing in?
Oh, Washington is in a lot of trouble. There's a lot of holes on this roster. I think they're totally out of the divisional race. They're probably looking at a 7-10 type of season, 6-11, something like that. And yeah, you know, Daniels was horrible yesterday. It wasn't just that he was hurt.
But no, I agree.
You have a lot of concerns right now with that offense.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Hagee, thanks for asking. We will have Shoddy's Presser coming up at 3:40.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.